Tuesday at prayer meeting, we're in Exodus 18. And as I'm reading and teaching on Tuesday, I thought to myself, well, isn't that an interesting Father's Day scripture message? And so if you have a Bible, Exodus chapter 18, the children of Israel have come out of Egypt, and Moses is, according to the word of the Lord, is taking them to Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, if you will, where God said he would meet with them on that mountain. And so that's the direction that they're heading in. They just defeated the Amalekites as Joshua fought and Moses held up his hands and prayed before the Lord, interceded. But Exodus 18 verses 1 through 6 will be our text. Let me read it. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, with her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. And the name of the other was Eleazar, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was encamped at the mountain of God. I'll stop there. And so I want to look at three fathers, possibly four in this passage of scripture, as we celebrate Father's Day today. In particular, the father of Moses. Parenthood, fatherhood, motherhood is a gift. Amen. Because in Genesis 4 and 1, the scripture reads, now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord, or the Lord has given me a son. And so Father's Day, as we celebrate, is, you know, I always joke around with my family, and I always tell them, y'all, get me my Father's Day gift, you know. And so I'm messing with them and saying, you know, my wife knows me. She's been 25 years. She knows. And so I say, if you give me my gift, and they're like, well, yeah. And I always tell them, you know, when I get towards close to Father's Day, it's always the gift that I want never costs anything. Hello. Because you can't give me more than what God has already given me. Let me say that again. You can't give me more than what God has already given me. And what he's given me is children. So there's no car, there's no tie, there's no, I mean, it's nice, you know, cool, but that's not what I want. What I ultimately treasure more than anything is you. My son and my daughter. That's a treasure. Treasure. Thank God for them. Because God has given us, my wife and I, gifts. Children are heritage of the Lord. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Amen. That's what the scripture says in Psalm 127, right? And so Father's Day is not about, well, what color tie we're going to get Dad this year and all of that. And if you have the ability to do that, that's fine and everything. But and even with that said, it's so sad to see fathers walk away from that gift that they have, or not understand the value of that gift. Because the greatest thing we have in this life is relationship, church. The greatest thing we have. God created you and I for relationship. And if you think about it, you know, the joys of fatherhood God gave to us. He created us in his image, right? And he gave us the ability to procreate. I was telling my children yesterday, I love families. I just love looking at the sun and seeing the Father in the Son. Man, oh my. I look at that, I go, whoa, I love that. I love looking at the daughter and seeing mama in the daughter. It's just an awesome thing. And so God gives us this ability to procreate and to perpetuate, if you will, ourselves, right? And he gives us this gift, and it's free. And he gives us this gift, and people just squander it. Like, they have the children, and then can walk away like they never mattered. And you sit up there going, are you serious? What are you doing? Hello? Ah. So let me get back to this text. It says, and Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law. So Jethro is one of the fathers we'll look at real quick. Because if you remember, you remember the Ten Commandments, right? Jethro had seven daughters. And Zipporah was one of them. And Jethro, this priest of Midian, he gives his daughter Zipporah to Moses after Moses, remember, had killed the Egyptian, hit him in the sand. And he took off. Why? Because Pharaoh was going to try and kill him. Even though you're the prince's daughter, you killed your Hebrew and you killed an Egyptian. So Pharaoh thinking, but I'm going to kill you. And so Moses beats it across the desert. And he ends up in Midian on the backside of the desert. And he ends up marrying Zipporah, the daughter of Jethro. And so while he's there for 40 years. 40 years. Sometimes people think, well, God hasn't done what he said he's going to do with me yet. Well, Moses was waiting 40 years. You see, I didn't live as old as Moses. I'm going to say it again. Moses was waited 40 years. Some New Testament characters, not as long, but they still had to wait. And so the story is he marries her, and then some years later he's just leading the sheep, shepherding the sheep, and that's when he has the experience in Exodus chapter 3 where he sees this bush burning. God calls him, you know the story, and now he's going to go back to Egypt. God sends him back to deliver Israel. But while he was in Midian, he has a son whose name is Gershom, his firstborn. Excuse me. Then he has his secondborn named Eliezer, and I love what he named Eliezer. His name means the God of my father was my help. And so it was Moses ends up in a place where he's going to marry the woman that God ordained for him to marry, which would have been a Zipporah. But what we see is in this passage of scripture that Zipporah and her sons were sent back. We read that. You see in verse 2, he comes with Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he sent her back. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us why she was sent back, but commentators or scholars believe that there was one or two reasons. This incident where God was going to kill. They don't know who. The scholars argue over who. When God shows up in Exodus chapter 4, in verse 24, the scripture says he's about to kill Moses. Some people say he's about to kill Gershom. Some people say it was Eliezer. They don't know who it is. It doesn't matter who it is. That's why the scripture doesn't tell us who it is. You know when the scripture doesn't tell you something? It's because you don't need to know. Okay, so it doesn't tell us who was we referring to? But what it does tell us is that Zipporah took a sharp stone of flint, and circumcised her son. It doesn't tell us which son. But it says he circumcised her son, threw the foreskin at Moses, said, surely you are a husband of blood to me. Moses, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up. See, there I was going, off and running. Run on. Yeah. But they believe that either that incident was heated between Zipporah and Moses said, okay, go back to your father. Or, while they were on their way to Egypt, Moses got concerned about the safety of the whole trip and said, you know, it's best, you with our young boys, go back to be with your father. And when this whole thing with Egypt is done, when God does this, then I'll come, then we'll come back together. So that's what scholars believe. And so what we see in Jethro, though, he has seven daughters. Remember, he's gotten rid of Zipporah. I'm not saying that in a bad way. She's married off, right? And now there's a man taking care of her. But now she comes back. And we see the heart of a father in Jethro, because he opens up his doors and he receives his daughter plus her two sons. Okay? So he receives her back. And I think we can learn something from that, and that's this. That as fathers, we must be there for our children. Hello? We got to be there for them. Not only when they're young. Not only when they're young. Because you don't stop being a father or a mother when your child gets a certain age. No, Jethro was there for her after she was married for years and had two children. When she needed to come back, daddy opened up the door and said, "Baby girl, come on in. What do you need?" Daddy was there for his baby girl. Hello. Amen. There's a father talking right here. Yay, here's a father talking. Let one of my children, let my baby girl say, "Daddy, what? What? What you need? What you need?" That's right. What you need? Now, remember this now. Remember, where do we get that from? Thank you. Where do we get that? When you cry out, he says, before you cry out, I'll say, "Here I am. What do you need?" That's right. That's a father's heart. That's a father's heart. And so Jethro is sitting here, and his heart is wide open towards Zipporah and her children. And so a father is not only to be available to his children when they're young, but throughout their entire lifetime. Throughout their entire lifetime. I'm reminded of Billy Graham, who recently passed away. They asked Billy Graham years ago. They said, "Billy, if you had it to do all over again, what would you do differently?" And Billy Graham said, "Well, if I had it to do all over again, I wouldn't spend so much time at the evangelistic crusades. I would spend so much more time at home raising my children." That's what arguably the greatest evangelist of our time said. He said, "I spent too much time in ministry and not enough time with my children." You say, why would he say that? Well, if you read what happened to his children, then you would understand. But fathers are needed. That's why that was the whole point of Fairfax County designating June as Father Awareness Month. And they outlined, remember I read it last week, they outlined all the reasons that fathers are needed. The secular society recognizes. Hello. What they recognize they ought to see in the church. What they recognize as a need in the community, they ought to be able to turn around and look at a group of people committed to Christ and saying, that is what we need. Hello. And so we see the father's heart in Jethro. But then as we progress, we see that Moses, and we understand that Moses was a father too. And so when you turn over to Exodus chapter 4, we'll read the account. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 24, the scripture reads, "And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him." Most scholars believe it means Moses, because in verse 23, God was speaking to Moses about Pharaoh and what he was going to do. So he was speaking to Moses. And so when the scripture then says the Lord met him, be kind of odd to think he's talking to Gershom or Eliezer, because that's not the natural flow of the text. But the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Now, some commentators believe that Moses got deathly sick and was ill. Where do they get that? Probably from Jewish rabbi. I don't know where they get it from. The text doesn't say that. One man says that to kill him, the in the Hebrew, means a sickness. I looked up the Hebrew. I couldn't see that, but who am I? But the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, "Surely you are a husband of blood to me." So he let him go. Then she said, "You are a husband of blood because of the circumcision." Now, whether the Lord sought to kill Moses or Gershom or Eliezer, the fact remains, this is the most important thing. Moses did not circumcise his son. That's the whole point. Doesn't matter who he was trying to, who, you know, the Abrahamic covenant, the sign of the covenant was circumcision. The Mosaic covenant hasn't even been established yet. They haven't even got to Horeb, Mount Horeb, where God would give the Ten Commandments and cut a new covenant with the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt. They haven't done that yet. Why? They're still on the Abrahamic covenant. And God told Abraham, every male shall be circumcised. Every child born to you should be circumcised on the eighth day. Well, this son had not been circumcised. And so now we have a look into the life of Father Moses. Moses, his sin of omission, put his son's life in jeopardy. And so what we draw from that is this. Fathers, we must obey God. We must obey God and honor what he says above what all others desire for the sake of our children. Why do I say above all the others desire? Well, some scholars believe that since the Midianites, and here's where it gets, I mean, it's neither here nor there, but some scholars say the Midianites practiced circumcision. Others, biblical scholars, say they didn't practice circumcision. Some scholars believe that because the Midianites didn't practice circumcision, that Zipporah was against seeing her son circumcised. See? The pain that it would cause. And people argue that today. Circumcision. They argue against circumcision today. Because of how can you do that to the child? Is screaming, the child is in pain. And so that because she didn't want it done, that Moses possibly held off of circumcising his son. Well, you got to determine then who you're going to please or who you're going to obey, because God has cut a covenant. That covenant was Abraham, the father of your faith. And so because, and it was such a serious matter, remember God said, whoever is not circumcised shall be cut off from his people. So here God shows up because he can uphold his end of the covenant. Now you haven't done what you're supposed to. People say, well, that's severe. That's really severe. How could God do such a thing? Well, let's talk about the new covenant. What happens if you don't abide by the new covenant? You don't want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord? Is it? Well, there's a problem with that. You don't go to him and say, I'm willing to accept this person over here, but not Jesus. The same one who showed up in the Old Testament, about to get down with it, take care of business, show up in your life. You understand who God is. We're not God, church. Right? And so Moses didn't do what he was supposed to do as a father, to be in covenant relationship with God. Ephesians chapter 6 and 4, scripture says to us, fathers, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Moses didn't do what he was required to do. Moses didn't do what he was supposed to do. And so in that regard, Moses was lacking as a father. He was lacking. And so, you know, what I read and what I preach to myself is, you know, get with it. Hello. Do, Patrick, do what you're supposed to do. What the scripture says to do, that's my aim. That's my goal. Why? Because I'm not going to have to answer to any of you on that day. Not one. But all of us are going to have to answer to God. And mama and daddy ain't going to be standing in your shadow saying, Lord? Mm-mm. No. 1 John 2, 1 says, if any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Let me tell you who'll be standing there on that day. Jesus. He's the only one that's going to be there. Amen? Amen. And so, back to Exodus 18. And the scripture reads, in verse 4, "And the name of the other son was Eleazar, for he said, 'The God of my father was my help. The God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh.'" Now, when Moses named Eleazar, it was after he had come out of Egypt. It was after Pharaoh had tried to kill him, sought to kill him because he killed the Hebrew. That is the incident that he's referring to when he names Eleazar. So Moses in Exodus 2 and 14, the scripture says that Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh after he killed the Egyptian. So it was this event that Moses was referring to when he named Eleazar. And so it was after Moses settled in Midian that he glorified God and honored his father in the naming of Eleazar. Notices he glorifies God. He says, "The God of my father was my help." He glorified God, but he honored his father, which indicates that Amram, that was the father of Moses, Amram was a godly man. He was a godly man. Jochebed was his mother. And what does that say to us? It says, fathers, we must live in such a way that our children come to know our God to be their God. Fathers, we must live in such a way. Listen to what he said. He says, "The God of my father was my help." And, you know, that the big thing with raising children, the greatest thing that you ever want to see is the day your God becomes their God. He said, "The God of my father was my help." In other words, he was owning the God of his father as his own help. And that speaks volumes to what Amram, the father, the way he carried himself, the way he lived his life, that his son would name his God, the father's God, as his God. Now let's look at, I want to look at real quickly that in further detail as it's related to us in the New Testament. Remember last week I preached out of Hebrews chapter 11, right? By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, for by the elders obtained a good report, so forth and so on. By faith, Abel offered a more perfect sacrifice to God. It goes on and on. By faith, Noah, moved with fear to the saving of his house, created an ark, condemned the world, wherein eight righteous were saved. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out and inherit a land, he went out not knowing where he went. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, leaning upon his staff. It goes on and on and on, and it talked about their faith. It says, by faith, Rahab didn't die with the other people. She received the spies with peace. By faith, Moses endured seeing him invisible. On and on and on it goes. But it's this one verse regarding Amram and Jochebed that I want to point us to that talks about their faith. In Hebrews 11, 23, it says this, by faith, Moses. And when you read that, when it says by faith, Moses, your mind immediately goes to, it's talking about the faith of Moses. But it's not. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. This verse is about the faith of the father and the mother. Let me tell you something, fathers, that your faith is important to the survival of your children. Because the faith of Amram and Jochebed was important to the survival of Moses. So my faith and your faith have a direct implication to our children's spiritual well-being, to their survival. As people of faith, we're moved by our faith in God to hide our children from the lusts of this world. Isn't that what the scripture says? It says by faith when he was born, by faith Moses when he was born was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. And so as they hid there, as they hid Moses from the edict, the command of Pharaoh, so that he might live, so you and I, fathers, are called to hide our children from the lusts of this world that if we don't hide them from, we'll kill them. Hello. Come on, we'll have its way with them. I'll never forget. One day we were playing and I have such fun memories of my children when they're young and we're just out playing and they are, and I think one of the most pleasing things to a father is to see a child just play with no care, no concern, just playing and laughing. And I remember days like that. So one day we had some friends over. And they came, we were down in the basement, and they came around back. We let them in the back door, and they were playing, my kids and everything. And so they turned, they had the TV on, and one girl brought over a CD or something and put on the music, this song called Oops, I Did It Again. Y'all may know what I'm talking about. Some of you younger people know what I'm talking about. And so she put this song on, and I knew exactly who the singer was. And I said, oops, that ain't happening here. Click. Oh, no, 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 no. Why? Because I'm the father. Hello. And I've been called to hide my children from the lusts of the world. See, Pharaoh was trying to throw all the children into the Nile River, to kill them in the Nile River. And we're called to deliver them from that. And so I put an end to that quick. And the little girl said, oh. And I said, mm-hmm. That don't go down here, okay? So so how do we protect our children? Well, the scripture says they were hidden 3 months by their parents. Where did they hide the child? There it is. In their home. How so? Well, you know, home is where the father and the mother determine the atmosphere, the environment, the content of what goes into their children, the priorities and the values. Listen, I don't care what happens. I don't have no control over what goes on out there. But as for me and my house, Joshua said, as for me and my house, let me tell you how it's going to work. See? And so that's how they hid him. They hid him in their home. Some believe that they didn't even circumcise Moses at the time because circumcision would cause the baby to cry out more. You know, and they believe that maybe Moses was not even circumcised at that time. But they hid him, you see. They hid him. And I remember in our home, I've got videos of, but I remember doing the, wherever my wife was on her day off, wherever she was, I can't remember what she was doing, but we were doing a like Bible story, you know, David and Goliath, and we're acting, you know, and all this, and that little guy, you know, and they're like, oh, what happened, Daddy? What happened, Daddy? And Daddy bringing it, you know, because I determined, and that was my faith. You see, my faith determined how well they would be hidden from what was going on out there. So did Amram and Jochebed's faith determine that how well they were going to hide him. I remember every day at the playground. One time we went to the playground and down on Braddock Road, never forget, Willow Springs, right down to that school, and drove up, and kids, it's after school, and kids are out playing. And we homeschool our children, so I would take them to the playground so they would, you know, because we didn't have a playground. Well, we did have a playground at the house, but we would go to a different playground. And I remember we went to this one playground one day, and it was after school, and there's two teachers standing over here, and they're just talking, two women. They're just talking and about whatever. And all the kids are playing. And I'm standing there watching the kids play because that's my job. And I saw this 5-year-old kid, thereabouts, Justin was about 3. This 5-year-old kid walked up to my son, teacher's over here not paying attention, whatever. He says, if you look at me again, I'll bust you in your face. That's what he said to my son. Wasn't no laughing going on that day, bro. Yeah. You feel me? Oh, Lord. Now, watch now. Who's supposed to hide their children? What the teacher's doing? It took everything in me. You know what I'm saying? Justin turned around, looked at me. I kind of like walked over to this kid. Not, you know, just sauntered very slowly, and I looked at him. Don't do that. Don't do that. He ran off and did his thing. He ran off. But daddy was right there watching over what was going on. Why? Because that's my job, is to protect. But listen, you can't protect your children if you're not engaged with them. If you're not present, if you're not in their life. That's not only when they're young, but even when they're old. I need to have relationship. So, you know, with my child, so that I can do something about, I can speak words of wisdom, so I can speak the word of the Lord. Amen. Into their life when necessary. And so, but Amram and Jochebed hid Moses. The scripture or commentators, Bible scholars believe that Jochebed probably didn't have an Egyptian midwife, because that midwife, when that son came out, would have taken him and destroyed him. The scripture says when they saw that he was a noble child or a beautiful child, the word is not only translated beautiful, but other translations have different meanings. When they saw that this child was special, they were not afraid of the king's command. Now, this is important because the Bible says, fear God, honor the king. But it doesn't say fear the king. We're to fear God. And the scripture says, because they feared God, they were not afraid of the king's command. Hello? Because they feared God, they were not afraid of the king's command. When we fear God, we will not fear man or what man can do to us. Hello? This is our job as fathers. But so we see here that not only did God deliver Moses from the sword of Pharaoh as an adult, but his father and mother saw to it that as a baby, he was protected from danger. For you see, Eliezer's name, Moses named him Eliezer, saying, God has delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. He was talking about when he was an adult. Moses wasn't speaking to the first time that he was delivered, when he was a child. That deliverance depended upon his father and his mother. So, we see the faith of Amram, the father, the faith of Jochebed, the mother, in this account being so important. But you remember what I said about all those accounts when it says, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham? What did I say in order for man to have faith, what has to happen first? God has to speak. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If God doesn't speak, man cannot have faith. Hello. So when the scripture says that Moses, when it says by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, what it's saying then is this. The parents heard or saw the word of the Lord. They heard or saw God speaking, and they believed it. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents. It was something God did that they laid a hold of, because you can't have faith until God speaks. That's why he gets the credit for everything. Hello. That's why he gets the credit, not us. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and his parents heard or saw God and believed God, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Jesus said in John 5:25, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. The dead won't live unless he speaks. We cannot have faith until he speaks. Hello? So the parents said something. I like to believe this. Not only I like to believe it, God has spoken to me as a father. Just like he spoke to Moses' parents. And they believed him. I'm saying to us fathers that God speaks to you about your children. Hello? I said, God speaks to you about your children. I know he speaks to me about mine. What is my job then? My job is to pray. My job is to pray that what God's desire is would be accomplished in my children. What God's desire is will be accomplished in my children. I told you years ago, when I first got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, moving in the gifts. I've seen gifts. I've word of knowledge, prophecy, all of that. You know, I've cast out demons. I've seen all kinds of things. You know, not boasting. Just Acts chapter 1, the book of Acts is real. Okay, I've seen angels. Look, angels show up. Things happen. God does great things. But one day I was in prayer before the Lord, and I said, Lord, I don't want my name on a building. I don't want, what can I do? I just want to glorify you. What can I do? And this is what he said. Blew my mind. Raise your children. Period. Raise your children. I don't want a worldwide ministry, everyone saying my name. I don't need that. That's not what's in my heart. I mean, that's not. God wants a righteous seed. God wants a righteous seed that will bring forth a righteous seed, that will bring forth a righteous seed, that will bring forth a righteous seed. And that happens as godly parents raise a godly seed. So we're to pray, we're to believe what God says and pray for our children that they would fulfill the will of God and the word of God in their lives. That's my word to us today. Happy Father's Day. Enjoy your relationship God has given you with your children. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for divine truth. We thank you for the simplicity of the word of God. You didn't make it hard. You said, whether it's easier to say to him who's sick with a palsy to get up, take up your bed. You said, which is easier? You didn't make it hard, oh God, but you made it so that we could all receive divine truth. We could all receive understanding. We could all walk in the truth of the knowledge of the word of God. And so, Father, as you reveal yourself to us on an ongoing basis, day by day, your word declares, utter speech, night unto night, shows forth knowledge. Father, as you reveal yourself to us, Lord, may we be faithful simply to walk in that you disclose. May we humble ourselves underneath your mighty hand and live to exalt the wondrous and the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Live for the glory of him who died for us and rose again. May your word have free course in our hearts. And may the character and nature of Jesus be brought forth in us to the glory of God. And the fragrance of Christ might fill the earth, we pray. We thank you for this in Jesus' holy name. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.